When you think about a city transforming, you usually picture something, well, something pretty gradual.
Right, like a new subdivision going up over a few years, or a downtown block slowly getting some new coffee shops.
Exactly. But imagine this. You live in a quiet, mostly agricultural town. I mean, a farming community of maybe 7,500 people where the absolute biggest traffic jam is just a tractor crossing the main road.
Which is a pretty idyllic picture.
It is, yeah. But then you blink, and suddenly you're bracing for an influx of over 1 million global visitors descending right on your doorstep.
It honestly sounds like the inciting incident of a science fiction novel. Like a megacity spaceship just drops out of orbit and lands right in the town square.
Yeah, but it's not science fiction. It is the actual real-life trajectory of Arlington, Texas. And to understand how a city physically, and I guess culturally, survives a metamorphosis like that, I was reading through the June 2026 digital issue of Arlington Today magazine.
Oh, local magazines are just the perfect raw material for this kind of autopsy.
They really are. And that brings us to our mission for this deep dive. We are going to use this specific snapshot in time as a lens to explore the fascinating anatomy of a city right in the middle of a massive global transformation.
Right, because you don't just see the polished international press releases in a local issue, you actually see the friction.
Totally. We're uncovering the hidden, almost invisible causal links between historic 1920s highways, modern youth sports, and community health.
Yeah, you have articles detailing the world's largest sporting event sitting right next to, coverage of local school robotics teams and warnings about kidney health. It really forces you to look at the macro and the micro of urban endurance simultaneously.
Okay, let's unpack this because we really have to start with the millions of fans in the room.
The World Cup.
Yes, the cover story of this issue is entirely focused on the 2026 FIFA World Cup arriving in Arlington. And the scale of the logistics they are detailing is just staggering. We are talking about more than 1 million visitors traveling to the North Texas region specifically for this event.
It's massive.
Arlington alone is absorbing tens of thousands of people every single day during the match periods.
I mean, they are essentially importing a mid-sized city's worth of humans every morning and exporting them every night.
Right. And the financial projections are equally massive. They are estimating a $1 billion economic impact for the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
$1 billion. Wow.
Yeah, and to handle the cultural weight of this, the city is throwing a month-long Kick It Downtown celebration.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, and the Arlington Museum of Art has launched an exhibition called More Than a Match, which is this really fascinating blend of global soccer history and fine art. They even unveiled an 18-foot Texan golden boot sculpture made entirely out of reclaimed metal right next to Globe Life Field.
An 18-foot metal boot. That's very Texas.
Very. But I have to step in here and play devil's advocate on behalf of our listener for a second.
Let's hear the skepticism.
I look at all this, $1 billion, the giant metal boots, the art exhibits, and it really feels like a pop-up megacity of chaos is just landing in your backyard.
Right, it's a lot.
Is this actually good for the local residents who have to live there year-round? Because if I live a mile from the stadium, I'm not really thinking about the global cultural exchange. I'm thinking about how it's going to take me 45 minutes to get to the grocery store.
Which is a completely valid concern.
So is it just a month of absolute traffic nightmares masked by a visitor-funded economic boost?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, we really have to look at the actual mechanics of tourism economics. Because, FIFA itself doesn't build your roads or upgrade your water lines or even fund your local police department.
They don't.
No, FIFA is basically a traveling circus. They depend entirely on the host city's existing infrastructure to put on their show.
Wait, so the city is footing the bill for FIFA's party? That sounds like a terrible deal for the locals paying property
Well,
taxes.
it would be if the local property taxes were footing the entire bill. But that visitor-funded economic boost isn't just some political buzzword. It's actually a highly specific mechanism for shifting the municipal tax burden.
Okay, how does that work?
When those tens of thousands of daily visitors come to Arlington, they are paying hotel occupancy taxes. They're paying local sales taxes at restaurants, at bars, retail shops. And furthermore, the city leverages the hard deadline of the World Cup to secure federal and state grants for infrastructure projects that would, frankly, normally take decades to push through.
Oh, so the traffic headache today is actively funding the expanded park system you enjoy tomorrow.
Exactly. I mean, think about the worst traffic jam in your own city. Now imagine finding out that the taxes generated by all the out-of-towners sitting in that traffic jam are actually paying for the brand new fire station down your street.
That does reframe things.
Yeah, that tourism-related tax revenue directly funds long-term city services and permanent infrastructure. It allows a city to build out its 20-year master plan in like 5 years, and it's entirely subsidized by people who don't even live there.
But a city doesn't just wake up one morning with the capacity to host a million global tourists. You can't just, you know, snap your fingers, lay down a few extra lanes of asphalt, and suddenly have a world-class entertainment district capable of supporting that kind of weight.
No, definitely not.
That capacity is a century in the making. And the magazine has this brilliant historical feature tracking exactly how this physical framework was laid down, starting with something called the Bankhead Highway.
Oh, the Bankhead Highway. That is basically the Rosetta Stone for understanding why Arlington is positioned the way it is today.
Yeah, so back in 1921, Arlington opened its local portion of this massive 3,000-mile transcontinental route. It connected Washington, D.C. all the way to San Diego.
And it ran right through the heart of Arlington.
Right along what is now U.S. 80, or Division Street. I was trying to conceptualize what a paved highway meant to a farming town in the 1920s, and it really feels like the original physical dial-up internet for these communities.
That is a great way to look at it, because prior to that highway, towns were largely closed economic loops. I mean, you traded with your immediate neighbors, and that was about it.
Right.
Laying down that transcontinental asphalt was like plugging a standalone computer into a national network.
Mm.
It created a brand new economic sector, literally out of thin air, called highway tourism.
So gas stations, diners, motor court motels.
Exactly. And auto dealerships.
Yes.
They suddenly sprang up just to cater to the constant flow of motorists moving through the grid.
And the city is actively celebrating that mechanical legacy right now. On June 6th, they are hosting the Downtown Arlington Classic Car Show at the Vandergrift Town Center.
Oh, those are always amazing.
Yeah, you have locals bringing out these incredible, perfectly maintained pieces of automotive history. The magazine highlights a guy named Mike Ames bringing his 1910 Buick Model 16 Roadster.
Wow.
Yeah, which is this incredibly rare brass-era open-air car.
You know, the location of that car show is no accident. They are hosting it right outside the historic Vandergrift building, which was actually built in 1928 as a Chevrolet dealership, specifically to capitalize on the traffic from the Bankhead Highway.
That building and the family who built it is basically the linchpin of this entire urban transformation. The Vandergrift family, specifically W.T. and his son Tom, who later became a legendary local mayor, they didn't just sell cars to people driving through town.
No, they thought much bigger than that.
They looked at their position on the highway, they looked at the rail lines, and they used their civic connections to pull off an absolute coup. In 1954, they convinced General Motors to bypass larger nearby cities and build a massive automotive assembly plant right there in Arlington.
They weaponized their geography. I mean, they parlayed a local retail dealership into a global industrial anchor. And the mechanics of that single decision altered the city's DNA forever.
It's just wild to think about.
You mentioned the quiet farming town of 7,500 people in the 1950s. Well, once the GM plant arrived, the demand for labor was so intense that the population didn't just grow, it violently exploded. By 1970, just two decades later, that farming town had 90,000 residents.
And the magazine points out that the GM plant has produced 13 million vehicles over its 70-year history. Even more wild, currently, that single plant manufactures 75% of the full-size SUVs on U.S. roads.
That is a crazy statistic.
Three out of every four full-size SUVs you pass on the highway originated in this one town.
Tracing the causality here is vital. The only reason Arlington has the logistical capacity to host the 2026 World Cup today is because the Vandergrifts leaned heavily into the mechanics of transportation in the 1950s.
The GM plant caused the massive population boom.
Exactly. That sudden influx of 80,000 new residents necessitated immediate large-scale civic infrastructure. The city had to physically build Lake Arlington just to ensure a sustainable water supply.
They built a whole lake.
Yeah, and they had to expand the hospital systems. They had to lay down the Dallas-Fort Worth Turnpike to move the labor force.
So the Bankhead Highway laid the initial asphalt, GM got the industrial engine and the tax base, and now FIFA is just driving the car.
That's a perfect analogy. Mm. But, you know, all that economic horsepower, the billions in tax revenue, the concrete, the steel, it doesn't actually run a city. Physical infrastructure is totally useless if you don't convert that industrial wealth into human capital.
Which means we need to look at the kids. Because if you are going to transition from a regional manufacturing hub to a global destination, your next generation has to be equipped to operate on that stage.
Absolutely.
And the Arlington ISD 2025-2026 year in review section of the magazine takes up a lot of real estate. And it fundamentally challenges the whole cliche of Texas education. First off, 19 local schools made the U.S. News and World Report Best Schools list.
19. That is huge, because the traditional stereotype is entirely Friday Night Lights. You know, the assumption is that the entire municipal budget is poured into the local football stadium, and everything else, like academics, arts, alternative sports, is just secondary.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting, because the reality documented here couldn't be further from that stereotype. Let's look at Kerrigan Johnson, for example. She's a senior at Martin High School. She isn't just competing at the state level.
What's she doing?
She represented Team USA at the World Para-Athletics Championships in New Delhi, India.
Wait, really? In India?
Yeah, and she placed 6th and 8th in her events. Or take Abigail Moore, a senior at Arlington High. She was just drafted into the inaugural Women's Pro Baseball League, the WPBL, to play professionally for the New York team.
Supporting athletes at that specific elite level requires a complete structural pivot from the school district.
Right.
You aren't just running a standard PE class. To help a student prepare for the World Para-Athletics Championships in India, the school has to facilitate highly flexible academic scheduling, integrate specialized physical therapy and mental conditioning into the student's week, and provide facilities that actually meet international training standards.
They're essentially running a collegiate-level athletic development program inside a public high school. And it's not just sports, either. The magazine notes that over 200 students in the district just earned the global seal of B-literacy.
Oh, that's impressive.
At first glance, you might think, oh, okay, they took a few years of Spanish. But that's not what this is it?
No, not at all. What's fascinating here is that the global seal of B-literacy is a really rigorous, internationally recognized credential. It proves to future employers that these students possess certified working-level fluency in two or more languages.
So they aren't just learning how to order food from a menu.
Exactly. They are graduating with the verified ability to negotiate complex contracts, read technical manuals, and conduct actual business in multiple languages.
Which is exactly what an expanding, diverse economy demands. If your city is actively courting tourists and business investments from London, Tokyo, and Buenos Aires for the World Cup, you better be graduating a local workforce that can actually speak to them.
The educational system is intentionally mirroring the economic system. And you see this validated by the outside investments rolling in. The Big 12 Collegiate Conference didn't just partner with a district in name only. They dropped a $12,000 grant directly into Lamar High School to fund advanced student experiences.
Yeah, and they're sending their elite student athletes into Peach Elementary to mentor the younger kids.
Exactly.
Add in the local robotics teams winning 7 major awards at the Sphero Global Challenge and 37 high schoolers being named Visual Arts All-Staters, and you really see the strategy. They aren't waiting for the world to come to them. They are actively building the human infrastructure to match their physical infrastructure.
But sustaining that kind of high-octane growth, whether you are a teenager competing in India or just a local resident trying to navigate a city flooded with 1 million tourists, it requires intense ongoing maintenance.
It really does.
A city operating at maximum capacity will quickly fracture if its citizens are physically or emotionally breaking down. Community health and mutual aid act as the essential shock absorbers of urban endurance.
And the magazine dedicates a significant section to this exact concept of maintenance. There is a stark warning from Dr. Mitch Abrahams, a local urologist, discussing kidney cancer.
And that's a tough subject.
It is. He points out that there will be an estimated 80,000 new diagnoses this year in the U.S. The terrifying aspect of this particular cancer is that he calls it a silent disease. In its early stages of development, it causes absolutely no pain.
That is scary.
Patients usually discovered it entirely by accident when getting a routine scan for something completely unrelated, like lower back pain.
Which really highlights why preventative proactive scanning is critical. By the time a patient actually feels the pain of a silent disease like that, the structural integrity of the organ is already severely compromised.
You know, it instantly reminded me of the classic car show we talked about earlier. Developing a silent disease is incredibly similar to rust developing on the undercarriage of that 1910 Buick Roadster.
Oh, that's a really good point.
If you aren't doing the preventative maintenance, if you aren't actively putting the machine up on the lift and looking for the tiny, subtle signs of corrosion like Dr. Abrahams looking for microscopic blood in the urine. The catastrophic damage is already done long before the warning lights on the dashboard ever illuminate.
The evolution of how we treat that damage has advanced just as rapidly as automotive manufacturing, though. Dr. Abrahams details the mechanics of the Da Vinci robotic surgical system.
Yeah, that part was wild.
Historically, a kidney tumor meant massive incisions and often the removal of the entire organ. But with the Da Vinci system, the surgeon sits at a console, viewing a highly magnified 3D high-definition image of the surgical area.
It looks like a video game.
It kind of does. They use tiny wristed instruments that bend and rotate far beyond the capabilities of the human hand.
So it's essentially like a master mechanic reaching perfectly through the exhaust pipe to rebuild the engine from the inside without ever having to take the car apart.
That is exactly the right visual. They can perform a robotic partial nephrectomy through a few tiny keyhole incisions, precisely extracting just the tumor while preserving the healthy remainder of the kidney. The physical trauma to the patient is so minimal that they can often go home within 24 hours.
That philosophy of highly specialized, localized care extends well beyond the surgical robotics, too. The magazine highlights Women's Health Services, which operates as Tarrant County's largest all-female OBGYN practice.
Which is so important.
They are engineering an environment where expectant mothers feel uniquely understood and supported, reducing the friction and anxiety of maternal health care. But health isn't just medical, right? It's environmental. I was really fascinated by the mechanics of the city's tool sharing program.
Oh yeah, it sounds like a minor civic perk, but it is actually a highly effective mechanism for neighborhood stabilization.
It really is. Since 2021, residents have borrowed yard tools like mowers, trimmers, leaf blowers nearly 5,000 times. The city literally delivers the equipment to your house. You use it for up to 3 days and they pick it up.
By removing the financial barrier to entry for property maintenance, they are empowering residents to maintain their own environments. It keeps neighborhood property values stable, which in turn maintains the local tax base that funds the schools and the parks.
And you see the results of that holistic approach to public space. Arlington recently climbed to 44th in the National Park Score rankings. That means 71% of their residents now live within a half-mile walk of a public park.
They are treating green spaces and tool sharing not as luxury amenities, but as essential public health infrastructure for mental and physical well-being.
But sometimes the most vital infrastructure in a city is just one incredibly resilient person refusing to let others fall through the cracks. The magazine profiles Abby Provence, who runs the Mission Haven Redeemed Foundation.
Her personal story is just harrowing.
It is. Surviving severe abuse, homelessness, and assault. Just an unimaginable compounding of heartbreak. Yet, she processed that trauma and turned it outward, waking up every morning to run a nonprofit that quietly serves the vulnerable populations hiding in the blind spots of this booming megacity.
Which brings the entire anatomy of the city into focus. Whether it is a multi-million-dollar surgical robot saving a vital organ, a municipal truck dropping off a borrowed lawnmower so a family can maintain their pride of ownership, or an individual like Abby Provence standing in the gap for the vulnerable, a city's true resilience is never measured by the height of its stadiums or the volume of its tourists.
No, it's not.
It is measured entirely by how effectively it maintains and protects its people.
So what does this all mean? We started by looking at a single issue of a local magazine to try and understand how a city survives a transformation. And we've essentially traced a comprehensive blueprint of modern urban evolution.
We really have.
It starts with a physical connection of the Bankhead Highway, which lays the groundwork for the industrial engine of the GM plant. That industrial wealth builds the civic capacity to host a massive global invasion like the World Cup.
Right.
But instead of letting that crush the locals, the city captures that global wealth and funnels it right back down into funding the human infrastructure. The kids competing on the world stage, the medical technology preserving lives, and the community safety nets ensuring nobody gets left behind in the sprint to the future.
It is a deeply interconnected ecosystem where the macro funds the micro. And for you, listening to this, I think it fundamentally changes how we should consume our own local news. It is so easy to toss a hometown magazine on the coffee table and view it as just a list of fleeting updates, you know, zoning notice, a high school honor roll, a health column. But if you interrogate those stories, if you look at the mechanics behind the headlines, it is the first rough draft of history. It reveals exactly what your community values and the precise mechanisms it is using to engineer its own future.
It's all right there in the ink if you take the time to read the underlying blueprints.
I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. We've spent this entire time dissecting how physical roads, like the asphalt of the Bankhead Highway, and massive, tangible global tournaments can dictate a city's physical identity over a century.
Yeah.
But as we accelerate further into a digital-first, decentralized world, what will be the Bankhead Highway of the 21st century for your own community? What unseen digital networks, cultural pipelines, or educational frameworks are being quietly laid down right now in your town that will irrevocably define your city 100 years from today?
Wow. That really is the ultimate question. Oh. Because as we've learned today, the warning lights won't come on until the future is already sitting in your driveway. So you better make sure you are checking the undercarriage of your community today. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, keep looking at the bigger picture, and we will catch you next time.